We have been discussing the seven letters to the seven churches, which John received in high communion with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The seventh letter is the culmination of six keys to the attainment of conscious union with God. And in the seventh letter, conscious union with God is attained, and we walk in the realization of self. Now, in doing the seventh letter, we will also review the first six, so that we can all proceed with an understanding of the total meaning of the seven letters to the seven churches, and, we hope, a practical way of letting them open us to the understanding of the nature of being. If you would go back for a moment to the first gospel, the first book of John, which is the fourth gospel, you will see that there is a continuity from the book of John to the revelation of John. A very important relationship. We see at the beginning of the book of John that there is a new consciousness emerging on the earth. It is typified by John the Baptist sending two of his prized students to the new man called Jesus. And these two students represent the transitional consciousness from earth to heaven, from John the Baptist to Christ Jesus realized. And these two students are Andrew and John, the first two disciples of the Master. They have awakened to what we have awakened to. They have awakened to an impulse within themselves which says, you are more than you appear to be. Life is more than it appears to be. You have a higher destiny than to walk the earth and ultimately to disappear, having contributed nothing save a few spare moments of time and energy and hoarding of possessions. There is something greater for you. And the Master looks at these two and surmises this great inspiration flowing through them, and he says to them what each of us has said to ourselves. These are the first three words he utters in the Gospel of St. John. To John, to Andrew, he says, what seek ye? And he's been saying that to this world ever since. These three words reverberate throughout the inner world. They never change, they never stop. They are always present within you, saying, what seek ye? And by your deeds, do you answer them? And as you look around at the world, you see that by the world's deeds, the world has given their answer. They seek that which they have attained. We have all attained to the level that we seek. And if our aspiration is not high enough, we do not attain the highest. Most of the world today has no awareness that you can seek beyond this lifespan. And so its limitation is that before the door closes, we must amass certain things. And if we were to answer candidly, we would say to such a question, what seek ye? we would say, well, I seek happiness. I seek peace. I seek comfort. I seek security. And if we were parents, we would say, I seek the good things of life for my children. And if we were concerned about our parents, we would say, I seek a place where my parents can live without fear, in freedom from want. And all of this to us would seem to be a very normal, sensible way of answering the question, what seek ye? But Andrew doesn't see it that way. And Andrew doesn't answer it that way. Instead, Andrew answers it in a way that everyone seeking the higher consciousness learns to answer it. His answer is, I seek where thou dwellest. And because his answer is the expression of one who is seeking the Christ within, the Christ says to him, come and see. Your purpose is legitimate. You have found the secret of what all men are seeking, the Christ within. And so therefore I, the Christ, who has attained what you are seeking, I say to you, come and see. I will show you the way. Now that is how the Gospel of St. John begins. It is the key to those who seek truth. Andrew brings his brother Peter. Then comes Philip. And then comes Nathanael, and the Master says, ah, here is an Israelite without guile. Nathanael is quite taken aback. Why, he'd never seen this man before. How did he know that Nathanael was an Israelite without guile? And in sheer belief that he has found the Master Messiah of the world, he says, thou art surely the God of Israel. Nobody else could have known what you said you know about me, just by seeing me under a tree. And then Jesus reveals that which is the purpose of all life. He says, Nathanael, what I have just told you isn't very much. Just a little mental telepathy. Don't linger in a mental science. Verily, what I say unto you is this. Heaven will open up. And you will see the angels of God ascend and descend to the Son of Man. These words are the promise of Christ in you today. Christ in you ever says, verily, heaven will open up. And you will see the angels of God ascend and descend to the Son of Man. When you have accepted the Christ idea, the knowledge that Christ in you is your hope of glory, your identity, the fullness of God expressing in you, when this becomes your total goal, then you are no longer the son of your mother and your father. You are the Son of Man. For this is a term that expresses those who move in the Christ ideal on this earth. And only to them does heaven open up. Only to them does the angels of God appear. Only to them do these angels ascend and descend from heaven. And so we're told that the opening of heaven in us is spiritual consciousness. We're told that this consciousness is inevitable. I say unto you, the Christ within says unto you, spiritual consciousness is inevitable. And a communication system will be established that is the I, the revelation, that inspiration from Father to Son will pass. Now, when you are told that the angels of the Father will descend and ascend, that means that in spiritual consciousness you will be in a state of communion with the infinite. And the angels are the thoughts of God entering your consciousness, guiding you, leading you, sustaining you, feeding you, enlightening you, leading you, finally, into the realization of the kingdom of heaven on earth. Now, this is how the Gospel of John ends, the first chapter. It leads us all into the promise of the Spirit of God in us, that we who are faithful along the way, we who have not compromised, we who will not falter from our high quest, will be opened to the Spirit, to the voice, to the power, to the One, to the all in all. And there will be a oneness achieved wherewith the Son of Man, receiving inspiration from the Father, becomes the Son of God. That is the first Gospel of John, the first verse, the first chapter. And from there we see that the very Christ which says that heaven will open up and there will be communion established between Father and Son, this Christ now delivers to, through John, to the Christ in you, the seventh letter. And with this background of the Christ comes another awareness to you, one of the great secrets of the Bible, that you learn the name of Jesus Christ is I Am. And that the Christ which walks the earth as Jesus, saying these things throughout the Bible, that Christ named I Am is your true self. For I Am is the I Am of you as it was the I Am of Jesus, and every word spoken by Christ Jesus has been spoken within you all this time, unknown to your human consciousness. And because your human consciousness had not been lifted sufficiently to hear the voice of I Am within, I Am appeared on earth without, to show you the power of I Am, the nature of I Am, the wisdom of I Am, and then to say to you, now who, when you know who I Am, and know that I dwell within you, I Am out here in front of you can go away so that you can receive I Am, the Comforter, within. This was the miracle that appeared on the earth as I Am, Christ Jesus, enlightening all to know that I, In the midst of you am that I am. And so the seven letters have brought us to this place. The first letter told us, in the guise of a letter to the church of a certain area, that this is a spiritual universe. Spirit is the name of the substance of life. Life is spirit. Life is infinite. Life is indestructible. And there is no other life than this perfect, indestructible life. And then in the second letter we learn that this indestructible infinite life individualizes as the life of every individual on earth. That your life is the infinite individuality of spirit expressing itself. That you are never absorbed into the infinite. You are always the individual expression of it unto eternity. And every quality of the infinite is the quality of your spiritual being. In this second letter, we learned that all form is spirit, that all life is spirit. And therefore that physical form is but a concept of the one life that you are. We learned something that is very difficult to practice, something we're going to learn more about in the seventh letter, that because spirit is the infinite and spirit is the individual, physical form has to be overcome as your identity. We learned in the third letter that the consciousness of God is the consciousness of the individual. That there is one all-embracing consciousness. It is ever maintaining its spiritual universe, infinitely and individually. There is no break, no division, no separation between the infinite consciousness and your divine consciousness. And because this is so, the realization of that will permit you to rest in the confidence that where you are, regardless of what you may experience visibly or tangibly, divine consciousness is the maintaining power where you are. That perfection can never leave you, regardless of the seeming experience of the senses. We learn in the fourth letter that divine love individualizes, expressing as individual love. That there is no time in your spiritual reality when you are not in the love of the Father. Now the first two letters teaching us of spiritual identity in spirit could be called the fullness of omnipresence. The third, the fullness of divine consciousness. The fourth, the fullness of infinite love. And in the fifth, we see that dominion over earth, over air, over water, over sky, dominion over the material universe is in the Father. And that this dominion being the nature of divine power this dominion is transferred to the Christ of you, so that all dominion is in the Father and in the Son. And as you rest in the Christ of you, you rest in I who have overcome the world. You learn that omnipotence is the story of that fifth letter, and this omnipotence rests in your true identity. It need not be invoked. It need not be attained. It is what you are in yourself. And in the sixth letter, we came to omniscience. We learned that omniscience is a very big word, comprising all the truth, the light, the wisdom, the intelligence of the one mind. And that the one mind is the only mind and is your only real mind, and it can never go away. It being perfect, all that appears imperfect is merely evidence that you are not yet convinced that only the one perfect mind of the Father is yours, and you are still straying into the belief in a second mind. What we are learning then in these six letters is that God is all in all. Like Father, like Son. That all that the Father is, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent, love, perfect consciousness, is thine. And we are learning further that these are not to be attained tomorrow or the next day or in the hereafter, that all that God is, God already is. And all that the child of God is, the child of God already is. All that you are in your spiritual being, you already are. And if you have been following these letters and practicing, you have been practicing that I am the child of God. I am the living omnipotence of God. I am the wisdom, the truth, the light, the life, the bread of life. All that the Father is, I am. And you have been finding it difficult to accept these things around us which tempt us into believing that I am not. There is that change then in consciousness which we should be experiencing as we form within ourselves the awareness that I already am the living Spirit of God, and that Spirit has no beginning in time and no end in time, no beginning in form and no end in form. I am timeless, spaceless, eternal Spirit. My life is spirit, and it is not confined to a physical form. Now that is where we should be practicing at this moment. I am not in this form. I am life unconfined. I am free. I need no power to make me so, for I, life, am the only power there is. Dwelling in this consciousness, you will discover that you are accepting life without obstruction, life with no needs, life seeking nothing, for it is all in all. and you will have answered the question as Andrew did. I seek no things. I seek no person, place, thing, or condition. I seek only where thou dwellest. I seek Christ within. For in the realization of Christ within, all that the Father is, I am. All that the Father hath, I have. I am a spiritual being without limitation in space or time, independent of the laws of material humans. Breaking through the hypnosis of karmic law. Breaking through the hypnosis which says we are material, we are mortal, we are confined, we are limited, we are subject to all of the ills on this earth. And so the seventh letter takes us here, it's called Laodicea. Take a letter, saith the Spirit, to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. Now here in this city of conventions, Laodicea, all of our forces are gathered into I Am. All that the Father is, in the seventh letter you are learning I Am. You were told in the Sermon on the Mount that your righteousness must exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. And now you see that your righteousness must be that righteousness which comes only when you are living in true identity. Living in the awareness that I am. And that I am is the infinite expression of the infinite Father where I stand. You are then in communion, in conscious union with the Father within. And the Father's grace is flowing in eternal perfection, expressing the will, purpose, and activity of the Father in you, so that you are synchronized with the infinite. Now you are a righteous child of the Father. You are in righteousness, which is the seventh letter. A righteousness born of living in your true identity. Not the righteousness of the human mind. Not the self-righteousness of the person who knows more than God. But that righteousness in which personal self is dwarfed out of existence while you permit your own true self to live itself where you stand. Now let's look at his letter and see where we stand in righteousness. Unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. You notice he wasn't called the Amen in the other letters. Amen always indicates the full, total fruition. And therefore here in the seventh letter, the six having gone before, we have the Amen, or he who has traveled these seven steps is writing this letter to you. And he is the faithful and true. In other words, if we have opinions about what is true, they are not from one who has traveled the seven steps. They must come to you from he who has the experience of them. For only the Amen, only the Christ Jesus who has traveled the seven steps can give you a faithful, true direction on how you too can do the same. So you're being turned now to that angel of the Father within you, who is the Christ, who knows the way, and says to you, I am the life. I am the way. I am the resurrection. Only I in you am the Amen, the faithful and the true witness. There is no other way to enter into the fullness of your being. I, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. Paul told us that Christ is the firstborn of every creature. That Christ, therefore, is the divine image and likeness of the Father, which you are, and the beginning of the creation of God is Christ in you. The firstborn of every creature is Christ in you. The Amen, the faithful witness, and Christ in you is writing this letter. Out here, because you cannot hear Christ in you, yet within yourself, to the fullness of being. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. Being lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, is that in-between state in which we are undecided, not fully dedicated to the totality of Christ's being, pausing somewhere along the way, willing to make our pace our own business, instead of the Father's pace, the Father's business. Undecided, midway, still a personal self there, directing traffic. And the Christ is saying, it's not enough. You can't be high on Tuesday and low on Wednesday. You can't be interested in spiritual things one day and material things another. You can't turn it on and off. Identity is identity. There's no place where spirit and matter can mix, for one is real and one is counterfeit. It would be better for you to be cold than to be hot and cold. And so he says, I wouldst thou were cold or hot. Make up your mind, all the way or nothing. There is no midway point in spirit. You cannot stand between spirit and matter, serving both masters. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. That branch which cannot accept identity and live in it, forsaking all others, is spewn out of the mouth of spirit. And so we reincarnate again in this material form, ultimately to come to the place where we are not either cold or hot alternately, but always living in the conscious awareness that spirit I am. Behind this urge to be fully dedicated to identity instead of partially, there must be a deeper reason than just a sheer command. And we find that Spirit in the midst of you is teaching you that unless you find that place in consciousness where you can accept identity, you cannot be led to the high calling of one who attains the awareness of a spiritual body. And only one who attains the awareness of the spiritual body comes under the government of God. In the seventh letter, we're going to find that we either attain our awareness of the spiritual form, or we are spewn out of the mouth of Spirit back into material consciousness to live under the law of good and evil. Spirit will only work in a spiritual form. Spirit will only work in the mind of Christ. And all of the timeless promises of the Bible about eternal life occur only in your spiritual form. So in this, the highest letter of all, we are told the facts of life straightforwardly, not ambiguously. We're told to be spirit or suffer the consequences. Seek ye first the kingdom of God within you, and find that the added things that you had thought you wanted are all included, or walk in this world as a person, but don't expect the law of God to apply to you. It couldn't be plainer. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, I am rich, increased with goods, have need of nothing. There will come a time, if it is not now, if it has not already come, when through your increased spiritual capacities, through the greater supply, the greater companionship, the greater love, the greater harmony, mankind will say, we have found the great secret, and now we can teach the world that if you do this, that, and the other thing, you can have a better life and all the things you want. And there are such teachings, many of them. And each one of these teachings right here and now is being subject to the law of truth, being exposed as that which takes advantage of the gullibility of the human desire for peace and security, for wealth and for comfort. Yes, you can have those things, and even teachings can bring you those things and lull you into the belief that you have attained the fullness of being. But there is no mental science on this earth, and no orthodox religion on this earth, willing to go the full limit that Spirit demands. That you do not say, I have attained these things, now I am rich, now I can stop, or now I can just keep practicing what I'm practicing. Spirit says, no. No, I have put you forth to show forth the full glory of the divine image. Not just a happy, contented human being in a material form that dies. Please don't stop there, says the Spirit, or I will spew you out of my mouth. Don't make the mistake of glorifying that material existence. It's the trap that everyone who comes into form has fallen into hundreds of times again and again. Just think of a bud on a flower, on a tree, had paused and said, I'm a beautiful bud, I'll be a bud forever, a happy, contented bud, sopping up sunshine and water. It would never know what it meant to be a flower. If a chick had stayed inside the shell, content to be an embryo, Spirit is saying, you are infinite being. Never finitize. Never cling. Never store in bonds. My infinite manna flows daily, incessantly, without interruption, and timelessly. Spirit is saying, you must continue into many, many, many mansions unto eternity, or I will spew you out of my mouth. Spirit is saying, I am new every day. I am newness itself. And you must let my newness manifest as your being. Do not make yourself stagnant or stuck at any level. Accept the great truth that Spirit is your name, and Spirit, to be itself, must be infinite at all times. Never does it have a boundary. Never does it have an end. Never does it have a top. It is forever bursting forth into new expression. The nature of Spirit is to express. And if you are not expressing, then you are not in Spirit. You are in the material mind. And you are asking for another incarnation in material form. And this then is to those who would become rich, satisfied, and smug, and self-righteous. Who would say to Spirit, thanks for taking me so far. From this point on, I can do it myself. They are making the mistake, the classic mistake of those who would make Spirit their servant instead of learning that mastership comes only to one who makes Spirit his master. Now each of us then is being invited to open the consciousness forever to the infinite flow of the Father, and to know that this flow continues eternally. It is the nature of the Father that Spirit indwelling you forever express new mansions of divinity. And when you have the feeling of that flow, you will know why we are told to remain poor in Spirit, empty vessels ever being filled by the infinite flow from above. Many have stopped before spiritual maturity and have had to return. Those of us who hear the seventh letter to the churches will know that there is no place to stop. And even though there may be a feeling in you of inertia or momentary satisfaction, this is part of the tempting mortal mind which says, how do you know there's any more? Aren't you afraid to give up those things you have for something you don't see? The all-in-all of spirit is your name, identity, and your home. There is nothing withheld from you. But you must never be satisfied with less than your infinite self. It is the very nature of spirit to lift you continuously in progressive unfoldments, day by day, hour by hour. And when that stops flowing, you must look and find out why. Because you are not in spirit when it stops flowing. When you are in spirit, you know that the miracle of Christ is a progressive unfoldment. We are learning that infinity is the name of spirit. That infinity is the name of God. And any time you accept finity instead of infinity, you are denying God's presence. And you lose that when you deny it. So those who do not know that infinity is their name, they are the ones who are called wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. They are not wearing the garment of white raiment called the spiritual body, and so they are naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, at this level we should be living by inspiration. The world is by the judgment of its reasoning mind, which is a finite mind, a no mind, not created by the Father, an unillumined mind, a five-sense limited mind with boundaries, a mind that lives on impression. But I counsel thee, says I in the midst of thee, to buy of me gold, tried in the fire. And that means listen for divine inspiration. Be guided from within. Make your life the outer expression of the inner word. The gold tried in the fire is the Spirit of Christ in you, living itself. Having located where Christ dwelleth, you must dwell there and make that your house, your consciousness. And living in Christ within, you are in the Amen, the faithful and true, the firstborn, the divine image and likeness experienced, the proven, the gold tried in the fire. Only in Christ do you find the living word of the Father. This is the gold tried in the fire. To learn to live by inner revelation, by the Word of God in you, by the will of the Father, this is the gold, and this is the way. I live, yet not I, Christ liveth my life. That's how Paul lived. That's how John lived. That's how we are learning to live. Because when Christ in you lives your life, all that we had sought in our material consciousness turns out to be the added things that automatically show forth when we have found Christ, the kingdom of God within. In Christ, you are in the kingdom of God. For I go to my Father. And now what can be lacking? Instead of seeking so many of the outer things, we find Christ embodies all of the Father. And you have ever had this infinite storehouse of the Father embodied in the seat of your being. Now it must become real to you. So real that everything in the outer to you now becomes a mere added something without effort. You don't have to go out to get supply. You don't have to go out to get health. You don't have to go out to improve your relationships. I go before you. I, in the midst of you, I become your house, your companion. I become the cement of your human relationships. I become all the added things. But I am God government. I am power. I am wisdom. I am infallible. I am the power of God in you. I am life itself. And so we are turning from that world consciousness which has had us up to now seek a limited life within a time span, with all the human appendages that make for a comfortable material life. And this we renounce. For we do not have to go out to possess anything when we have all that Christ is embodied in our very being. And we are free in Christ. We are without fear. We are without needs to fulfill. We have left the struggle and the strife. We are without the consciousness of evil. For we know that that which is not the will of God has no place where it can exist. We do not make the mistake of believing that evil is God's will. One of the most important religious leaders in the world recently announced that evil is the will of God. He said, "Probably all these terrible things that happen to us because God wants us to know that we have to come to His house." And so evil is forcing us to the Father's house, he said. No, it isn't. Evil is not God's way of punishing us or of forcing us to his house. God alone exists as infinite being, and there is no evil in God. And there is no evil in the will of God. And what is not in the will of God cannot exist. And the Christ of you knows that. The Christ of you knows there is no evil. The Christ of you does not resist it. The Christ of you reveals the fullness of God's glory in your being infinitely. And that means that all that you are to be, you already are in Christ. The moment you touch that Christ in you, and 500,000 years from now are touched in that moment, and you are ensuring not just the next 20 or 30 years, but the eternality of your being. This is the pearl for which we sell all, that we may live in reality, instead of under the hypnosis of mortal beliefs. Now we're at a very hard place, because once we have come to the assurance that Christ in me is my hope of glory, I must see that Christ in me never was living in this material form. Christ is life. There is no life in this material form. There is no life in any material form. Life is one, indivisible, infinite being. That life that you are seems to be confined to this form, and that is the hypnosis under which we live until we touch Christ within. You cannot, with your human mind, fully accept the truth that your life is not confined to a form and is not even in the form. The form is in the life. Your life is not in your heart and does not depend on your heart. Your life does not depend on your body. Your heart and your body depend on your life. We learn that we are life. And the more you can identify as life, the only life there is, divine life, life that is never separated from its infinite self, the more you can identify as it, the more you will learn how to relax and depend upon life to maintain its perfect self, no matter what appearances may come. Yes, the seventh letter is divine righteousness. John tells us, judge not after the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. And you cannot judge righteous judgment with a human mind. The Christ mind in you judges righteous judgment. And it will tell you that I am the life and there is no other. The only life there is Christ life, divine life. And in the seventh letter, the seventh key to I am, you are walking in the knowledge that I am the life. That is divine. And I am not the form. You're going all the way back again to the Gospel of John, where Jesus stands at the wedding. But it isn't Jesus you know now, it is I am. I am the Christ realized. The I am Christ which is showing forth as Jesus is the I am Christ which is in this room. And that I am Christ looks at its mother. And the world has been shocked. Imagine him saying that to his mother. Woman, what have I to do with thee? But they didn't know who said that. It wasn't Jesus at all. It was I, the Christ, saying to a material person, what have I, spirit, to do with flesh? Spirit was teaching us that spirit does not turn to flesh and let flesh be the authority. He was saying that all authority is in the spirit. And the word woman then meant matter. material woman? What have I, spirit, to do with thee? Why did he have to do that? Because he was the Christ showing eternal life. And if he had accepted birth in the womb as a material being, he would have to undergo physical death. And there would be no Christ teaching on this earth. Because the Christ teaching is that you did not come into life when you appeared as a child. You came into form. Life was and is your name. What has life got to do with form? And then the water was transformed to wine. Again, showing that matter can be changed. Matter being a belief of the mind made visible. The power to change matter indicates that matter is not of God. That which is of God cannot be changed. Transformation further symbolized the transformation in consciousness that we are going through. And you will go through that transformation successfully more quickly when you know I, Spirit, am life itself, and I was never born. I am not the form. I am the life. And you will discover quickly that your soul has sent forth a form to do its will, its bidding, to be its instrument.